Start the meeting. Apologies.
Apologies from Councillor Bevington, Chair.
Thank you. Minutes of the previous meeting have been circulated. Can I sign them? It's true, Mead. Thank you. There are no questions under Committee Procedure 12.8, disclosures of pecuniary and personal interests.
Chairman, thank you. I notice on the paper that item one, Mr. Richard Taylor is speaking on behalf of Loughborough University. I do know Mr. Richard Taylor, but I've had no contact about this application, so I have no interest.
Thank you. Councillor Tillotson.
Thank you. Item three, I'm a member of the organisation that submitted the application. And item five, this application is in Store Award, for which I'm a member, and I have called in the application and will be speaking on the paper.
Thank you. Councillor Forrest.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chairman, item C, like Councillor Tillotson, I am a member of the organisation that owns that building and I will be withdrawing at that application. Item E, I am the other councillor for Store Award, but I have had no discussions about this application. I have not been contacted by any residents. Councillor Tillotson has dealt with the whole matter and we haven't discussed it, and I believe that I have an open mind, so I propose not to withdraw item E. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Smith.
Just to say, I also know Richard Taylor from meetings, not personally, and I'm also will be interested in the heritage aspect of the third application.
Thank you. Councillor Lowe.
Chair, it's just been mentioned to me. I'm sure most of the councillors know Jill Vincent, the applicant, and I think that should be recorded on bulk. I'm guessing we all know her, although you know, I sit here with very much an open mind on that application. Thank you.
I think we all do. Councillor Grimley?
Yeah, item four, Compare Workforce does work occasionally with Wilmot Dixon Limited, although I've had no discussions with anybody in that particular project, and here with an open mind.
Councillor Gerrard?
I'm not sure if I have to declare, Chair, but I'm a member of the Zara panel for sports at Loughborough University. Thank you.
Councillor Medley.
Yes, thanks,
Chair. Okay, thank you very much. Anyone else? Got everybody. Thank you. We're coming to the planning applications, but before we do, item two, which is an order B, following receipt, I'm just going to read this out, it's easier. Following receipt of legal advice, the committee has advised that this application should be withdrawn. This is because a description of the proposal requires amendment and re-advertising to make it clear that the two properties concerned are currently in residential Class C4 HMO use, not residential Class C3 dwelling house, as currently identified in the report. So item two is withdrawn and will come up at a later date. Right, item one, Loughborough Road University.
Thank you, Chair. Before I start the presentation, I'd just like to draw councillors' attention to the fact there's an extras report on this item. It just amends the description from 619 bed spaces to 617, and accordingly other figures are reduced. So there's 69 bed spaces, so the netting that are being demolished, so the net increase is been amended to 548, and those paragraphs are all identified. There's also some slight amendments to conditions 2 and 5. Those conditions remain mainly the same. It's just the inclusion of specific plan numbers for clarity. So if we move on to the application. The application is for the erection of student accommodation to provide 617 bed spaces, which falls within the use class C2, and an elite athlete centre, which falls into the use class of C1. The proposal also includes a central student hub building, a warden's house, landscaping provisions, the provision of access and service infrastructure, and the demolition of 10 existing buildings. The application has been referred to Plans Committee by Councillor Bradshaw, and the reasons for the call-in are set out at the beginning of the report. So the red line area indicates the application site. It's located to the northern boundary of the university campus along Ashby Road between the Paula Ratcliffe Athletes Stadium and the Cayley Gates pedestrian access. So this is the stadium, and the access is in here. For those that visited the site, the most recent student buildings are here and end at the Cayley Gates. So this is an aerial photograph just to help officers get councillors get their bearings. So the red line indicates the application site. Again, these are the most recently built, which isn't that recent, but these are the most recently built student accommodation. These are also student accommodation, and the stadium. This is the student union and Ashby Road going down to the motorway. So just for the benefit of those officers, those councillors that couldn't make it onto committee, this is the Cayley Gates, which is the westernmost edge of the site. And this tall building here, this five-storey building, is the last student halls of residence that came to committee quite a while ago now, and the development would go in this direction. This is looking back up Ashby Road towards Loughborough, and it goes behind these trees just here. Again, this is just to show you the existing five-storey blocks, because that continuation would continue down the Ashby Road. The buildings being proposed aren't all five stories. These five stories, there's a range of four story and five story. Okay, so, and it, like I said, it's just to give you an idea of how they appear behind the tree belt. So this is looking the opposite way up Ashby Road towards the motorway, and the development would be behind these trees here. At its thinnest point, so from the properties on New Ashby Road, which is where I'm standing, this is where the trees are at their thinnest. Obviously, they get quite dense, and the buildings you can see here are buildings that are lost. And again, this is looking north, again, to give you a sense of the trees and also the distance. So you've got the Ashby Road, the verge, then New Ashby Road and the properties. And this here, I don't know if you can pick it out, the white roof is the National Throw Centre. The development will require the relocation of that throw centre, and there's currently an application with the planning authority to relocate that throw centre, but that hasn't been referred to committee, and it's just relocating it into a different part of the university campus. So from within the application site, this is the road we walked down earlier. Ashby Road is behind these trees. This compound would go, and you're standing right on the western boundary of the application site here, looking back across the application site. These halls here, part of Cayley Hall's residence, they remain. They're outside the application boundary. So walking through, these are the student accommodation that are demolished as part of the application. And you can see the road through these trees, the properties the other side. That's where I told you that they were quite thin at the thinnest point. then this is the throw centre that's being relocated, and the development covers the whole of this throw area. The hockey pavilion just here is outside the application site, and that remains. So this is just another one looking back down. So these are the buildings that will be demolished, and this is going. This road will be retained, and the trees are also shown, and the hedge on the plan. And to give you a sense, when we look at the plans, the student hub building would be just the other side, just here, with student halls of residence surrounding it. And this is that hockey pavilion that I said was staying. Okay. So I've put this on just to give you a context of where it sits within the site. This whole site to the south is the university campus, with Ashby Road to the north. Student Union building is just here, with the Paula Radcliffe Athletic Stadium just here. And then there's existing halls of residence in this area here. Hopefully everybody's got their bearings from that. This shows the existing situation on site. And if you can pick up the red line, all the grey buildings within the red line area are the buildings being demolished. This building here is the exception to that staying. And obviously these halls of residence here are not included in the application site. So this is the site plan for what is being proposed. And the proposal includes an elite athlete centre, which will be located here next to the Paula Radcliffe Stadium, a student hub, which is this building just here, a warden's house, because there will be a permanent warden living on the site, and that property is just here, and then 9 blocks of student accommodation arranged in rectangular and L shapes. There's also bin storage, sheds, and also cycle storage enclosures. I put this at plan in because it's useful to show the relationship between the existing trees on the site. The red trees are those indicated to be removed, and all the other trees, so the light blue and the greens, are all trees that are being retained. And as part of the application, there would be compensation for the ones that are being removed through landscaping schemes. This slide I've put in to, again, give some context to the site. So it shows distance circles and facilities that are available to the students. The darker pink areas, which is this area and this area, are on muggers and active recreation available. So this mugger is obviously just outside the application site. The peachy colours are all formal sports facilities, so pitches and things. And then the greens, and there's quite a lot of green actually between the buildings, are active open space, so areas that you can go kick balls and that sort of thing without it being on formal pitches. Garendon Green, you may remember, is referred to in the in the report, and that's just here, this green area here, just so that it helps you locate it in relation to the application site. So just to run through some visual images to try and help you picture what it's be like, these are the proposed elevation strategies. Like I said, the buildings range from 3 and 4 storeys. And these are the site sections. So there is some difference in site level. If you just put down, these show the position. So the slide that I'll go back to is cross-section A, B and C, so towards the east of the site, cutting through from the university campus to Ashby Road. So this is the existing indoor performance centre, so that's already on site. This would be the elite athlete centre that's proposed. And then you've got a block of student accommodation just here that is designed for the sports students. And then you've got the trees, Ashby Road, and then the properties on New Ashby Road. And then this is further, if you remember the sections, further into the site. So you've got some student accommodation the Elite Athlete Centre, and again, you've got the trees, New Ashby Road, Ashby Road, and then New Ashby Road. The green trees are surveyed trees, so they are depicted at the correct heights. And then, again, that's sort of in the centre of the site. If we go back, the next slide will include cross-sections D and E, which are towards the west of the site, and then F, so looking back towards Ashby Road to help you. So, again, it does show a difference in land level, but you can see these are the buildings already on the university campus, and these are the proposed buildings, which are taken at that slightly lower level, not the higher level, with New Ashby Road, again, slightly lower again. See the relationship between the trees. And then this cross-section shows that tree belt, and Ashby Road would be the other side of those trees. Again, the difference between the green trees and the grey trees is the green trees are the surveyed trees. So if I just take you through some of the blocks, and again, if at the end you want to look at certain ones depending on where they lie on the site. So block A1 is on the boundary, butting up to Ashby Road. It's a four-storey student block, which would offer 54 student bed spaces. Block A2 is the closest block, actually, to the residential properties. And that's, again, four-storey, with offering 52 bedrooms. And then as we move more centrally into the site, you've got block B1, which is four-storey, offering 57 bedrooms. And you've got block B2, which is actually five-storey, offering 73 bedrooms. Block C is the other block that's on the boundary, the other side of the tree belt on Ashby Road. And that's a five-storey block offering 133 bed spaces. Block E1 is five-storey offering 64 bed spaces. Again, we're going back into the site now. And block E2 is four-storey offering 49 bed spaces. Block E3 is five-storey offering 64 bedrooms. And the final block, block F, is five-storey offering 71 bedrooms. And again, this is the one next to the Elite Athlete Centre, which, although student accommodation, would be associated with the student athletes. It's a student athlete centre. This is the student hub building. The proposal... it's going to be two-storey in height and would be a community building providing study areas, common rooms, event space and laundry facilities. It'll also have office space and reception areas and other facilities to be used by university staff employed to manage the student halls. I mentioned in the description that there was going to be a warden's house on site. This is the proposed warden's house. It's a two-storey, four-bed house, containing also a small office. It would be permanently occupied by the warden and their family. And this is on the boundary, that northern boundary, closest to the Ashby Road as well. Then finally moving on to the Elite Athlete Centre. This is different to the student halls. It's a particular use on its own, as set out in the report. And it would be a five-storey rectangular building sited on the eastern corner of the application site. It provides nutrition lounges, cafe and meeting spaces, athlete rest and relaxation rooms, 42 twin bedrooms for athletes, including 8 fully accessible rooms and 20 altitude rooms. Elite Athlete Centre would allow athletes to stay on campus for the duration of their training programmes and is located close to existing sporting facilities, specifically for that reason, and further details about the need and the background and justification for this building can be found on pages A2 and A3 of the report. So the relevant policies and material considerations are listed on pages A4 to A6 of the report, and the statutory responses and interested parties' comments are detailed on pages A7 to A13 of the report. There's been no comments or objections from local residents. So if we just move on to the planning consideration, the application is within the identified boundary of Loughborough University on the campus, and student accommodation along with the Elite Athletes Centre is in close proximity to existing transport links. The student accommodation would be located on campus in close proximity to student facilities and services, and the Elite Athletes Centre would be located adjacent to existing national sport training facilities. And it would help the university achieve its ambitions of providing world-level service in terms of elite athletes. For all of these reasons, and those out of the report, is therefore considered the application is sustainable. SAVE policy H12 and CF4 of the adopted local plan set the framework for considerations for applications like this in land use terms and provides a clear indication that the principle of student accommodation on campus is an acceptable form of development. Policy CF4 also supports proposals within the university campus for development of academic and ancillary uses, which would include a D1 use. The adopted supplementary planning document, student housing provision in Loughborough, goes on to identify that in the absence of any significant decline in student numbers, the only mechanism with the potential for restoring balanced communities over time is the development of purpose-built student housing, which can compete in terms of cost and quality and convenience. And it states clearly additional student house provision within the campus is to be encouraged in principle. And it's for these reasons it's considered the application complies with policy H12 and CF4 and the provisions of the framework. If I move on to design and visual amenity, the application is supported by a design and access statement which goes into detail about how the design has evolved through the design process in response to an assessment of the context, constraints and opportunities of the site, as well as feedback from the community. It's felt by officers that the proposed design wouldn't create featureless, bulky blocks, but would create rather modern, well-proportioned and detailed buildings. It's felt the levels across the site have been well considered, and the buildings relate well to the adjacent buildings within the university. As such, it is felt the proposal would appear in keeping in style and character to this part of the campus. Accordingly, it is considered the proposal meets the requirements of CS2 and EV1 of the adopted development plan. Moving on to impact on residential amenity. The proposal has been amended by the applicant to reduce the scale of the top floors of blocks E1, E2 and E3. At its closest point, which is block A2, there will be 50 metres from the front of the properties on New Ashby Road to the proposal. The Borough Council's space between buildings guidance contains, within Appendix 4, recommendations regarding minimum distances, and suggests that for proposals such as this, at the height at which are being proposed, the distance should be 27.5 metres. Given the significant distance above the Council's adopted recommended minimum standards and the significant tree belt, it is considered that a refusal of planning permission on the grounds of overlooking or overbearing impact on neighbouring properties could not be justified. Given the design of the proposed buildings and generous courtyard spaces between them and the overall layout of the proposed scheme, it is felt that the proposal would also offer a high level of amenity and living accommodation for the new residents. The provision of the provision of a significant number of additional student bed spaces within the university campus would also provide the opportunity to potentially restore balance in the community off campus over time, in line with the aims and aspirations of the adopted supplementary planning document. Similarly, although it is recognised that parking issues within the immediate vicinity outside the campus has caused concerns with regards to nuisance and disturbance, it is considered that provisions set out within the submitted travel plan and the university's existing sustainable transport plan are sufficient to prevent students from bringing cars to the town and parking in the residential areas, as students would breach their licensing agreement and therefore risk their accommodation. For all of these reasons, and those in the report, it's considered the provisions of CS2 and EV1 of the development plan have been met. If I just move on to highways and parking, one of the most often felt impacts of the university is the issue of parking on local streets. The application proposes, through its transport statement, an approach whereby all students who choose to live in these new halls of residence will have to accept the university's halls of residence licensing terms and conditions. The document creates an obligation between the university and the student, and the second part of Clause 2.13 of the licensing terms and conditions relate to the new halls of residence and is set out on page A15 of the report. Although concerns have been raised by the ward councillor and the county councillor, the local highway authority considers that this approach will be sufficient to prevent students from bringing cars into the town and parking in residential areas, as students would breach their licensing agreement. And as such, the consequence would be to risk losing their accommodation. This approach works in a similar way to the previous planning permissions, but rather than securing these provisions through a Section 106 agreement, the provision of the transport statement, including the halls of residence and licensing terms, are secured via a planning condition. Some concerns have also been raised regarding the cycle and pedestrian provisions within the development, particularly with regards to Cayley Gate and its design, and accordingly this has been considered, and I'm recommending that a condition is imposed requiring an upgrade to this entrance to provide a specifically designed pedestrian and cycle gate access once the construction traffic has ceased. In addition, and in line with the Loughborough and District Cycle Users Campaign, a request for additional cycle storage will be incorporated into the student hub area and secured by planning condition also. It's considered that the proposal's impact on the wider highway network and highway safety is therefore acceptable. As you know, paragraph 32 of the National Planning Policy Framework states that development should only be prevented or refused on transport grounds where the residual cumulative impact of the development would be severe. In this case, it is not considered that the proposed development would lead to a severe impact in the highway, and the proposal would comply with SAFE Policy TR18 of the local plan. The local highway authority has raised no objection, and accordingly, we've recommended it. The scheme is acceptable on these grounds. Touching on trees, the proposed layout retains significant landscaping features on the boundary of the site, comprising of both trees and hedgerows. It is proposed that these will be retained and supplemented with additional planting in areas of landscaping to ensure the development assimilates into its surroundings. The Borough Council's landscape officer has raised no objections to the proposed application, and it is considered the proposal would have a positive contribution to landscaping in the area and accords with policy CS2 and CS11 of the adopted local plan. Planning conditions are proposed to ensure suitable tree protection during construction period is secured, along with replacement planting. Ecology overall is considered the application site as a low ecological significance. The Borough Council's ecologist has raised no objections but has recommended the application is made to adhere to the mitigation strategy, and this is conditioned accordingly. The proposal would accord with CS13 of the adopted plan. In terms of flooding and drainage, which has also been raised as a concern, the Environment Agency has raised no objection, and the local lead authority has confirmed that the submitted details are now sufficient and there is no objections to the proposal subject to conditions relating to surface water drainage. These conditions are included in the recommended report. Finally, just moving and touching on other matters, the report talks about an off-site contribution towards open space. Initially, the Borough Council's open space team requested a contribution towards off-site sports provision for youth and young adults to meet the needs of the development. However, no specific project was identified. Councillor Bradshaw and County Councillor Max Hunt supported this request and suggested the contribution could be spent on Garendon Green. Following the submission of further information, including the active landscape and pitch development strategy for the university and a position statement dated February 2016, the Borough Council's open space team withdrew its request for off-site contribution as they felt the needs of the development was met on site, on the campus. The law governing the use of Section 106 money and the legal arrangements are very strict, and as you know, set out in Regulations 122 and 123 of the Community Infrastructure Regulations 2010. These are set out in detail on page A17 and A18 of the report. And for the reasons that I go into in the report, it is strongly recommended that seeking a contribution towards Garendon Green cannot be justified and would therefore fail to meet the statutory tests in the SIL regulations. With regards to the other issues being raised, which include archaeology and heritage assets and National Grid, these have all been considered and officers are raising no concern that would warrant a refusal of planning permission. So to conclude, this planning application should be considered by applying Section 38 of the Planning Compulsory Purchase Act, which requires you to determine it in accordance with the adopted plan, unless other material weight indicates otherwise. The proposal is considered to comply with the relevant planning policies, and for the reasons set out in my presentation and in more detail in the report, it's not considered there are any other material consideration which would justify refusal of planning permission. The proposal would have the benefit of providing a managed, high-quality student accommodation within the university campus, providing an additional 548 bed spaces, reducing the demand for off-site student accommodation elsewhere in Loughborough. It would also provide a national sporting facility. Accordingly, it is recommended that planning permission is granted in accordance with the conditions set out in the report, subject to the amendments in the extras report.
Thank you. We have two speakers tonight. There's Mr. Richard Taylor speaking on behalf of Loughborough University, the applicants, and we have the ward councillor, Councillor Julie Bradshaw. Mr. Taylor. Do you know the lighting system?
I do indeed.
5 minutes maximum. I thought you did.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. And thank you for allowing me to come along this evening. So as Chief Operating Officer of the University, I wanted to do a few things. But one of the things I wanted to do was emphasise the strategic importance of this development to the University. In 2016, there were 600 students who would have preferred to come into university accommodation that the university could not accommodate. So there are 600 students who wanted hall places that we could not fit in. And we estimate that that would equate to around 100 HIMOs out into the community. And by constructing this accommodation, we would see the university releasing pressure on that housing stock in town and at the same time securing the hall experience for our undergraduate students. One question I would ask if I was you would be, will the university simply use this as an opportunity to grow student numbers? I've brought with me today the university student number projections, and I will share with you that between 2017 entry, where the proposed intake is 3453, on the university's plans, that stays flat all the way out to 2021-22, which is the end of the university's planning period. So there is no plan to grow student numbers on the back of this development. So I would suggest that this is real additional accommodation that will be first preference for our students as to where they wish to live and will reduce pressure on housing stock. In terms of the Elite Athlete Centre, at the moment UK Sport is trying to develop a series of elite training centres around the country for elite athlete activity. By the provision of this facility, this would secure Loughborough's place as the premier elite training centre in the UK. By the provision of this centre, which includes, as you have heard, 20 altitude rooms, which would be the only rooms of their nature in the entire country, which are effectively pressurised rooms that allow athletes to sleep at altitude and therefore train more effectively for the future. So by developing this development, we would position the university and Loughborough at the leading edge of elite training. And indeed, it is so important a development to UK Sport that they have agreed to put in significant funds into this development, hence the desire of the university to develop in this way to this timescale so as to have impact on the Tokyo 2020 Olympic cycle. We've had good engagement from the borough and the county councillor, and the scheme was well publicised through a public consultation event that I attended, and 15 people came along to that to ask questions and found out more. We've sought to engage and hopefully have answered a number of the queries that have been raised. So, for example, the concerns around flooding from the LLFA have been answered, we believe, and they now have no concerns around this. In terms of car parking, by moving our students into our accommodation, as we've heard, we can enforce the requirement in the terms and conditions that require our students not to bring cars or park inappropriately. And indeed, over the last year, we've enforced that on 40 occasions and 40 students have been fined. But we can only do that with students who are on our campus in our accommodation. In response to the request for the off-site open space contribution, in the last period, the university has voluntarily contributed £15,000 towards the skate park on the Ashby Road estate, and the university would see itself playing an important role in supporting the local community through the university's Community Donations Fund in that way. So, in conclusion, I want to just get across the strategic importance of this development to the university. This is a very significant investment by the university that secures the position for our students and our sporting reputation. But perhaps more importantly, from your perspective, it provides high-quality student accommodation that releases significant pressure on the local housing stock with no planned expansion in student numbers.
Thank you very much, Mr. Taylor. Councillor Bradshaw.
Okay, if I can just say before I start and press that button, I'd just like to say, first of all, congratulations to the university on becoming the best sports university yesterday. I'm quite privileged to have studied there myself and have lectured there, so well done.
You would have said that is in the world. Not just
in the world,
UK,
then, yeah.
World number one. Thank you.
Okay, so first of all, I want to clarify that I'm not speaking tonight against this application. I basically want the committee to discuss it publicly. I do fully support the fact that the university are building more halls to accommodate students on campus and thank them for this. My residents on Loughborough Ashby Ward, like myself, are very concerned at the huge amount of HIMOs that are there, the majority of which, as members know, are inhabited by students, which causes great concern for local residents all over Loughborough, since it's inevitably causing a lack of much-needed affordable family housing. I've lived on my ward now since 1988 and have seen the result of, obviously, the greedy landlords converting houses into HIMOs, which inevitably student lives in. Therefore, this application certainly addresses this concern, and I do thank the university for listening and trying to alleviate this ever-growing problem. The reasons I wanted to bring this application to committee are to do with the fact I believe it should be discussed before an outcome is agreed, not just delegated to officer decision. Along with County Councillor Max Hunt, I'm concerned that there are a couple of issues that need to be addressed. Initially, the height of the proposed halls was an issue and overlooked neighbourhood amenities. I appreciate the amendments the university has made, so thank you. Another concern were the trees and the wildlife. Whilst the university has gone some way in addressing this, I note from my visit to campus at weekend on the 5th of March that they've already begun to cut down trees. I know one of them's due to storm damage, but the others with white crosses on them seem to have been cut in anticipation of this application being granted, which was a bit surprising. What this has shown, though, is the loss of cover exposed by their removal. Residents have also noticed this and mentioned that if the whole strip is similarly treated, it will look very open. I hasten to add, as a resident who experienced the previous halls being built, I now found that after the summer months from my bedroom window, it feels only a stone throw distance from my window, despite the planning distance regs of the 20-50 metres to 27.5. Certainly, when tree cover is out, so much better. And I do hope that should this application be granted, that many of the trees are left and thus will help reduce both noise and exposure of residents to student halls opposite. My next concern and for the committee to discuss is to do with the flooding report. It's not concluded its work and it's my job to work on behalf of the residents to ensure that other areas in the future are not affected by developments. To me, the university would have been in a stronger position for the members to say yes had the flooding authority approved the application. However, they're at the moment saying that conditions should be attached. Surely their work could have been completed, then the university submit their application? Residents have commented, and I have to agree, that their approval should have been sought prior to going ahead. The worry is the flooding, potentially in areas on the ward, i.e. surface water flood risk on Garendon Green. My final concern, as always, is the parking. The ward is already bombarded by students parking their vehicles in neighbourhood streets, and the residents are concerned about the potential of further cars being brought as a result of this proposed halls application. I totally appreciate the university endeavours to do its best and attach and stop students bringing cars. I know there are licensing conditions attached in these halls that they can't bring cars, yet I know similar conditions are attached to other first-year students, etc. Despite the hard work of Loughborough University, the parking problem still continues. The travel plan just system doesn't seem to work. Therefore, should this application be approved along with residents, I want to know practically what the university will do to ensure the parking problem will not be aggravated and increased any more. The residents basically can't take any more cars being parked. I've previously mentioned about the S106 for park developments. So, for example, another application on Loughborough Ashby Ward, i.e. Garendon Social Club, is included in S106, yet this application from the uni is not. And you've got to remember, Radmore Road Mugger is used intensively by students, so why not Garendon Green be allocated? It seems to me that there's a real town gown blind side. Students could quite easily use Garendon Green as it's across the road from the campus. So please think about this in your discussions. It certainly can be justified. To conclude, these are the reasons why I wanted this application to be further and publicly discussed by the committee tonight. So thank you for listening, and I look forward to your decision.
Thank you. Anyone else? I've got four speakers up to now. Is that all for the moment? Okay, thank you. Councillor Gerrard.
Thank you, Chair. In my personal view, I think this is an excellent application. The buildings will be hidden behind the trees. They are replacing buildings that are going to be knocked down, and they are within keeping of the other buildings. And with the new parking regulations coming in for the students, I think that'll be good. And I would like to propose we accept officer's recommendation. Thank you.
Do we have a seconder for that? you. Councillor Tillotson.
Thank you, Chair. I'm pleased to see this application too. We've heard that the university can't currently accommodate all the students who want to live on campus, and it will mean that over 500 students can live on campus rather than in what previously have been family homes. Perhaps eventually, as officers said, this will mean that some of the current HMOs will come back into use as family homes, and I'd be very, very pleased to see that. It will also be very good for Loughborough's image as a premier university town. My only reservation, and this has not been mentioned by anyone, is that there may be in the short term a reduction in accommodation when the current blocks are demolished before the new ones are available. So I would be interested to know how long that will be and how much impact that might have. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Smithovich.
Thank you, Chair. I equally support this application. However, page A11, I think, sums up what Councillor Bradshaw has said about the concerns about the parking. I'm really curious to see how they're going to monitor it, because we've all experienced the problems, and frequently the students don't give their numbers in, their registration numbers in at the university. But having said that, in the LE11 area alone, there are over 11,000 students living in private rented accommodation. So the 600 students equaling 100 HMOs was quite interesting as a statistic. But I am curious about how it's going to be monitored, and I would like perhaps this committee at some stage to consider the problems that are around, and that the LE11 area gets preferential parking. And I think the Highways Committee in Leicester need to listen.
Do you want to reply to that?
I was just going to say that I did ask about preferential and residence parking on New Ashby Road, because it isn't covered by a scheme, and Leicester County Council confirmed that they had done the necessary consultations to introduce it, and it was rejected by the current residents that live there. They didn't want it. So that's why they don't have it.
Thank you. Councillor Lowe.
Thank you, Chair. If I could just ask a question there. One of the speakers mentioned 3,453 students, and yet Councillor Smithovich just mentioned 11,000 students. What is the? Is it 3,000 or 11,000?
No. Can I just say it's 11,500 students that are currently identified as living in the LE11 area. So it wasn't the new student intake coming in. Whether it was 3,500 in that Ashby area, I have no idea.
Do you have it?
Yeah, so the university just confirmed that its intake was 3,453 students. That's who come on to study each year at the university. And between now and 2021-2022, which is as far as their projections go forward, they're not proposing to increase that role of students. So the student level on the university will stay static.
That's fine. There was one more question there, Chair. It was asked earlier on about the impact this is going to have on Loughborough whilst this is being built, and there was not an answer there. Can I ask officers for an answer to that one, please, Chair?
Okay.
Yeah, so the application does propose the demolition of some student blocks. Those contain currently 69 students. Now, just by building one of these blocks, that would be replaced. So, you know, even if it would only be short term, but obviously it's providing in the long run the benefit, so that has to be weighed up.
Just one more thing, Chair. I mean, I think this is fantastic for Loughborough University and fantastic for Loughborough. I will be supporting it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Forrest.
Yes, I also so support this scheme. I think I agree with both Councillor Tillotson and Councillor Lowe. It will be very good for Loughborough. I'm very good for the university. I have one criticism. I hate the proposed warden's house. It's horrible. It's a nasty piece of 60s brutalism, if ever I saw it. And really, you know, I think the university could do better than this for us. Thank you very much, Councillor Bentley. You know, we could have something softer and more domestic, Mr. Taylor. And that is not going to stop me. As much as I hate this building, which is truly hideous, it's not going to stop me supporting this scheme because I would like more students out of my ward and into this accommodation so the students who now live in my ward can make way for family homes. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Councillor.
Well, truly beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and I quite like that cubism was always my bag anyway. I noticed on the hub, there is what I assume to be a sedum roof. Okay. Is there any other ecology gimmicky things there? Like, is the toilets flushed with rainwater or whatever? Thank you.
Well, there's a few things. You will notice that the blocks are orientated on a north-south axis, and that's so that throughout the day, the solar and the light can get in between all of the units and there's no dark spaces. You also know that quite a lot of the units have solar panels on the top.
I was quite wondering what they are, and they didn't shout out solar panels,
suggestion that they're going to meet any BREEAM standards or anything. That doesn't form part of the application. So,
any other speakers? Yeah.
Sorry, I missed your eye there, Chairman. First of all, I think I ought to say congratulations to the officer's presentation. I think it was absolutely good tonight in detail, and it did give us a good perspective of what it was all about, and I thank you for that. I'd certainly support this and wholeheartedly in terms of being involved with this some time ago. And the one question that all came back is, why don't the university build more student accommodation? And this is precisely what this achieves. And in fact, I think with the sports set bit as well, the Elite Sports Centre, I think that is absolutely marvellous in terms of a way forward for Loughborough. I just wanted to pick up on a couple of things. I think it was stated that the flooding outcome was not concluded, but in the highway report, it says the highway, I think there was no objections or it was concluded that it was okay. Could I just confirm that, being as it was raised tonight?
Yes, so initially the local lead flood authority did raise concerns, and they asked for additional modelling to take place. And that was all done, and they've received all that information, and it went into a lot of detail, including all the calculations. They've since confirmed that they are satisfied and all the information is there, and they have suggested conditions, though, to deal with the finer details, which is how they're designing it to meet those calculations, which is a standard thing that would be conditioned out.
Thank you. Could I just go on and say that there's no increase in student numbers, and I think it was pointed out about the parking that there was better rules, if you like, to actually have this organised and not have it in the streets of Loughborough. So there is a better sort of outcome there in terms of parking. Just one other thing. It talks about the throw centre having to be in place in 3 months' time once this has started. Should this, I understand there is a separate application for that. If that actually doesn't get through or it's not there approved, what happens then?
Okay, so we have got another application. I have to say it's right at the end of the processing of the application and there is no objections to it. I can tell you that, and that recommendation is currently being drawn up. The reason Sport England have suggested a condition like that, usually we'd say before the loss of a sporting facility, you'd want its replacement before you take the old one down or before you build on it. This one isn't. It's not going to be a new one. What they're doing is taking down the throw centre and moving it and then rebuilding it. So you can't do that. You know, you need some time. And so the way that the condition's written, that could either be this application or it could be another one if this one was refused, which, you know, like I said, is highly unlikely. And that would have to be in place and they would have to be rebuilding it, or they'd be in breach of that condition and they'd be liable for prosecution under a breach of condition notice. And Sport England are comfortable that this is, that they are happy and they've not objected to it on that basis.
Just got one final one, you can spare me the time, Chairman. And I think it was Councillor Turton that brought this up, and it was one thing I'd written down as well. You've got 3 months to put a throw centre up, but there's a loss of 69 beds, student beds, and there's no guarantee or what timing is on that. So there is going to be an impact, I guess, somewhere along the line. Have we got any indication about how long that's going to be for the, if you like, the development to take place? So the 69 bed loss is not a great length of time.
Yeah, I mean, the development won't be opened in mass at 617 bed spaces. It will be rolled out on a phased programme. So as soon as one block is completed, it will be leased and rented. So, and like I said, they would be replaced within one block, in effect, being constructed out of the nine. So.
And would it be the first block built from the entrance? Because if it is, there's no student housing needs to be knocked down to get that block built.
I don't have the phasing programme, so I don't know that.
Yes, I agree with him. Okay, we have a proposition. Sorry, we've got another counter council.
Yeah, I just want to check that the all the replanting is going to be native shrubs and trees, and that it mentions the badgers. I know there's several sets along the that wildlife corridor, and it does say about the mitigation in. It's been looked at, but I can't see whereabouts it says how you're going to mitigate their any danger to them, sort of thing.
Okay. The mitigation is in the report, but I can briefly summarise it. It does require the relocation of of the badger set, which is done under licence from Natural England, and that process is already being looked at. Our ecologist has looked into the report and feels that there will be no issues with the mitigation strategy in obtaining that licence, and that's all part of the mitigation strategy. In terms of the replacement trees, all of those details need to be approved by the council, and our tree officer will ensure that they are native species. That's what they do. And appropriate for the surroundings. Obviously, some trees need more light than others.
Yeah. Could I ask for some fruit trees to be put in? Because badgers love, eating fruit in the autumn, and if possible.
I'll note it. I mean, the university does have active tree fruit planting.
Thank you. Is that all the speakers now? Okay, we have a proposition that we grant conditionally with the conditions as modified on the extra sheet. All those in favour? That's No one against, no one abstaining. Okay, that's granted. Thank you very much. Give people a chance to get out. It's gone through very painlessly.
Jenny and I are...
Oh, you're just drawing. You're not going to speak or anything?
Well, because...
I know, it's Jill.
That's...
Okay, item 3, first floor office, 21 Fennell Street.
Thank you, Chair. There's no extras report for this one, so it's as reported in the agenda. This is an application for the change of use of the first floor only from office, which falls into the B1 use category, to a yoga studio that falls under D2 use. This is a retrospective application. The application is brought to Plans Committee as the applicant is a former councillor and therefore it's in line with the Constitution that it's heard by Plans Committee. So, if we move to the site plan, the red area shows the site. It's a two-storey red brick building known as the Loughborough Labour Community Hall and it's the Labour Party's headquarters. It's within the central area of Loughborough with some residential properties nearby. The ground floor use has already got a D2 use, so it's just the first floor and it would bring it in line with the existing use at ground floor. So this is an aerial photograph, just to give you a bearing of the site. I have to apologise, it's some years old, it's when the inner relief road was still being constructed. You can see just here, this is Churchgate. And this is the rushes with the right roof, just to help locate it. Okay, so just to help those councillors that couldn't make it today, the property is this one here, the red brick building with the front gable, a decorative gable. And there's a social club next door. And like I said, the ground floor use is already there. So that's it from the other side. That's it from the front. Both the ground floor and the first floor are accessed independently. So the door just here is the access to the ground floor and the one on the right of the picture is the access that accesses the first floor in the application, which the application relates to. I've included here the floor plans just to help you look. Like it has included the ground floor, but as I said, this application doesn't involve the ground floor. It just includes the first floor, and it's a straight change of use. There's no internal alterations at all. So, moving on to the main issues, the relevant policies are set out on page C1 and C2 of the report. And there's quite a complex planning history, well, not complex, just long, and that's set out on page C3 of the report. There's been one letter of representation received, and this is summarised on page C4 of the report. So in terms of the principle, the planning history shows that 21 Fennell Street has had a variety of uses. In 1991, planning permission was granted for a change of use of the first floor to an office, storage, retail or display area. And in 1993, planning permission was granted to change the use from that office space to a bookshop and art gallery. And then in 1997, planning permission was granted to convert it back into an office use. The site is located on the edge of the town centre, where there are a variety of different uses in the vicinity, including retail, which is A1, estate agents, which is B1, social clubs, which is D2 use, which is this is changed into, and residential. In planning policy terms, the use of upper floors and underutilised buildings within the town centre are encouraged. SAFE policy CA11 states that within the local town, Loughborough town centre, planning permission will be granted for D2 uses of upper floors subject to there being a retention of acceptable residential amenity to neighbouring properties. Paragraph 70 of the National Planning Policy Framework states that decisions should be made positively for the provision and the use of shared spaces, community facilities and other services that enhance the sustainability for the community. The building is in a sustainable location, close to other town centre facilities. As such, the proposal will help towards the regeneration of Loughborough Town Centre and support the vitality and viability of the town centre. Therefore, it is considered that the proposal accords with SAFE policy CA11 and the core strategy policies CS7 and CS9. In terms of impact on the character and appearance of the conservation area and the street scene, the retention of the yoga studio would not alter the external appearance of the property, and therefore it would have a neutral impact on the character and appearance of the Churchgate conservation area. Although the building is not statutory or locally listed, it is within the conservation area and is of some historic architectural merit. It's therefore considered the use of the entire building, the continued use of the entire building, would help ensure its continued viability and therefore would protect and inherit and preserve this heritage asset going into the future. In terms of impact on the amenity of neighbouring residents, the property is located near a number of residential flats at first floor level, particularly 24, 25 and 26 Churchgate. One of the neighbours has expressed concerns about potential noise and disturbance. The yoga studio has confirmed that they will not play amplified music, nor do they use microphones, and a condition is recommended to ensure that no amplified music is used. The ground floor use is already in the D2 use and was allowed by appeal in 2005, including a condition which limited the hours of use from 9 in the morning till 10 at night, Monday to Saturday, and 10 in the morning till 7 at night on Sundays. It is considered such a condition would also be appropriate for the first floor as well as the ground floor. And the opening hours allowed as part of this appeal are considered appropriate as it would bring both of these D2 uses into line. Concern was also raised about the security of public access to a private courtyard area. However, the ground floor and the first floor are accessed independently and therefore the yoga studio does not have access to this courtyard area. It is therefore considered the proposal would not be significantly detrimental to neighbouring residents and would comply with CS2 of the core strategy and SAFE policies EV1 and CA11 of the local plan. In terms of highways, which is the final one on the list, the County Highway Authority has raised no objection. No off-street parking is provided, but it is located in the town centre and in close proximity to public car parking facilities. Given the location with good walking and public transport links, it is considered the proposal accords with policy CS17 and the retention of the use would not be detrimental on highway safety. I would also point out to members that the ground floor use was refused originally on highways grounds because it's double yellow lines, and there was concern about people pulling up, and the inspector found that he didn't see that that was harmful, and that's why the appeal was allowed in 2005. So to conclude, for the reasons set out in the presentation and set out in detail in the report, it is considered that the proposal accords with the development plan, and planning permission should be granted subject to the conditions contained within the report.
Thank you. We only have one speaker on this, and that's Dr. Vincent. If you would wish to come forward. Don't think there's any need to tell you about the lighting system.
Well, I'll try my best. I don't have a great deal to say, but I thought it would be as well to come, partly just to say thank you, because the officers have been very helpful, and thank you to you, the councillors, for allowing me to speak. Also to say I apologise, because this is a late application. You saw that that's quite a checkered history for, we call it Unity House, but the Labour Party club there, and community centre. We just overlooked it, and we had the planning permissions for downstairs, and we thought it applied, and it didn't, and we now realised, and so, sorry, it's belated. I wanted to say that we are mindful of the value of the building. I think it's a really attractive building, and I'm sure you'll agree, and we do everything that we can. It's in a conservation area, and we do all that we can that's appropriate to preserve and to protect the building. We happily accept the conditions on noise and hours of operation. In fact, it being a retrospective application, you will understand that actually that is precisely what we have been doing. And if the person at 25 had complained earlier, then there would have been a greater value perhaps in their concerns. So I would say just that the yoga studio, in fact, is rather beautiful, and it's an island of calm and gentleness, as yoga studios tend to be, and we do not have any loud music or sudden movements, and I hope you will agree to the application. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm not going to give him a chance. He's coming in at number six because I didn't see him. Councillor Seaton.
Well, it ticks all the boxes. Sustainable, effective use of the first floor. I can't see any reason why we should turn this application down. So I recommend that we... I recommend that we refuse. No, I recommend that we accept the officer's recommendations. Thank you. And it is a lovely facade.
It is. Thank you very much, Councillor Bentley. I'll strip you off the list now. Councillor Snod.
Chairman, thank you. I support it as well. And I was... just a bit sort of sad that we couldn't go up and do a bit of yoga this afternoon. I know it's very calm in here tonight without any music, but it would have been nice this afternoon. I just don't understand the comments received, and it says concerns about scaffolding. What's that all about?
Do you know what that is?
I don't. Like I said, there was concerns about the rear courtyard area, but... There's no proposal to change any external appearance. It's just a straight change of use. There's not even any internal changes. And like I said, it's retrospective anyway, so it's already happened.
Thank you, Mr. Midovich.
Thank you, Chair.
I'm just wondering, actually, about the calm oasis and the peace, and I'm wondering whether to switch parties. But apart from that, I'm delighted that somebody's going to be in this building upstairs and that it's going to be preserved. I think anything we can do to preserve heritage in Loughborough is vital. I'd certainly support.
Councillor Lowe.
Support it as well, Chair. But I will just ask one question of the officers. A Class D2, that could be a boxing club, couldn't it? Mm. So can we put a restriction on that it doesn't turn into a boxing club?
That could only happen if the Tory party took over the top line.
It is an option you can consider. Like I said, a D2 use would be any community building, so a dance hall, yoga. I'm trying to think of a few. It would include books, and that's something to consider. You'd have to say what the harm was and why you were doing it, taking into consideration that there's no such restriction at ground floor level.
The only thing I'd be worried about, Chair, is obviously neighbours have made an issue of the noise and possibly the impact of their amenities. If this was to turn into a boxing club, I don't think it ever will, but if it was to turn into a boxing club, then, you know, obviously there would be, you know, a major impact there for those residents, and we've got permission for it.
But we wouldn't give permission for noise. That's environmental. Don't talk across, please.
Yeah, like I said, if you're content that there's sufficient grounds to restrict it, you could do that. I don't think it's a very good idea to try and guess at what could go in there and limit it on that basis. If you're going to do it, you would perhaps limit it to yoga use and to no other uses contained within the D2 use. But like I said, you just need to be very clear if that becomes part of the proposal as to the reason why you think that's necessary. But yes, that's an option open to you.
Would you like to take an option? Councillor Seaton. Use your mic, please.
All right. If heavens forbid, but it has had a checkered past, as it's been pointed out already, if this business didn't work and it changed then to a dance studio, would they not have to ask then for planning permission, which has got a cost implication, which may restrict them from applying for it?
Okay. Yes, they would have to apply to vary the condition, which is less costly than a full application, but it would be a variation of the condition rather than the full application.
Up to you. You don't want to put any restrictions on it. Seconder, do you agree with that?
Actually, I would prefer to see conditions on it, because if there were to be a variation to something that wasn't going to be acceptable within the locality, I think it would only be right that as we are passing this for the use of yoga, if it was to be something else in the future, I think that a planning application should come forward for that.
Councillor Seaton, it's left in your hands.
I think it's a pointless exercise, but yeah, let's put a condition on it that it must be yoga. Yeah, what about a chess or something like that? I don't know. I just think sometimes we cut our nose off to spite our faces. But what would be the harm of the boxing club? Is it the noise? Okay, you'd have to have a reinforced floor. I don't think it would be suitable for boxing.
Excuse me a minute. Yes, sir.
Could I make a suggestion procedurally? It might be that if you had a proposal on the table to grant planning permission alongside officer recommendations, if someone else were to then propose as an amendment restricting the use, you would then vote on the amendment separately rather than confusing the issue by trying to lump the two together.
Right, Councillor Mentley, you've got it.
I'd like to propose the amendment.
Have you got a seconder?
Yeah.
I think Councillor Lowe should be, because he was raising it. We better vote on the amendment, and if anyone's got, no one's got anything else to say. That we restrict the use to this.
So it would restrict the use to a yoga studio only, and it couldn't, and no other use contained within the D2 use class. I'm taking it that the reason, although I would like it clarified, is because of the potential impact on the neighbouring residential properties. I'd just ask people to just bear in mind the existing use downstairs and also the neighbouring uses, because there's social clubs neighbouring the site as well. So just be careful.
Sorry, as the proposer of the original, can I just come back on why I don't think... we have a number of community groups, places that I've got bear in mind, that share uses. So the yoga club might not be successful 7 nights a week or 7 days a week, and it might want a dance class in there, or chess club, or choral singing, or I don't know, just a Labour Party conference in there, because... it's a compact room, and that they would be restricted and not be allowed to do that. So I just don't think we should restrict the use. If it was a boxing club, they would have to be very small boxes, because it's not a big room. They would also probably have to reinforce the floor, because it's not suitable for a boxing club up there. I can only just guess how old the floorboards must be. That's it. I just think it's a silly restriction to do.
Thank you, Councillor Grimley.
I think the condition restricting amplified music probably safeguards the neighbours, to be quite honest with you. So I think it's always better to take care of them. Although it couldn't be used for a dance hall, but that could be looked at later. But I think that condition works, basically.
Thank you. Councillor Snodd.
And we've had an amendment proposed and actually seconded. I think we ought to be talking about the amendment and then actually voting on it. And then if that falls, we go back to the substantive.
Yes, thank you. Have we got an alternative seconder? Thank you.
Okay, I just wanted to just reinforce a concern that's crossed my mind in relation to having the condition that restricts the use is that one of the tests for conditions, of course, is reasonableness. Now, we're talking here about a yoga club, but how would we as a committee or us as officers understand that there's evidence that something like a mother and toddler group or that a different kind of D2 use that's similar to the sort of noise levels of yoga should be restricted? Across that range of things, it seems to me that this condition could fall foul of meeting the tests of reasonableness, given the uses that's there. And we have got environmental health, of course, who can make step in if the noise has become a statutory nuisance level as well. So that seems to me to be grounds to say I'm not sure that this actually would be a condition that would meet all the tests in my view.
Thank you. Councillor Bentley, I take it you're going to withdraw.
Yeah, I think that it's still, because of its location near to residential properties, I still think, as they've expressed concerns over this, I think it'd still be reasonable for us to put on the necessity for that clause. If they wanted to have change of use for something else, we can't say that We're happy with D2 as long as the noise levels are similar to. The application is for a yoga facility, which is quiet. As by its very nature, it's quiet. But I think it's reasonable, given its location, to say, well, if there's to be a change of use, then you need to come back and make that second application. Like you say, it's not a costly process. If it's a reasonable application, it will be passed, undoubtedly. But I do believe that we need to put a restriction on its use now. I think that I've been in the past involved with something where environmental health get involved, great, but it took about 2.5 years to solve the problem. Let's not give ourselves a problem in the first place.
Okay, we've got an amendment which has been seconded to restrict it to yoga only. Those in favour? Those against? The amendment's fallen. We go back to the original proposal that we accept the officer's recommendation as it stands. Those in favour? Thank you very much. Right, now that my deputy chair's back, we can get on. Item 4, Riversdale Court, Birstall.
Thank you, Chair. This application comes before committee as it's a council application, and I just draw your attention to the extras report and the two additional comments within it. The reason for the application that it's come before as well is that during the construction of the car park, some of the levels were increased by up to 40 centimetres above the approved drawings due to a misinterpretation by the contractor undertaking the works. This has resulted in a degree of overlooking, especially into the garden of number 3, Riversdale Close, from the car park. To address this matter, the applicant is seeking to create a banked landscape verge between number 3 and the car park. This requires amendments to the car park layout, though the number of spaces remains the same, and the conditions proposed to be changed as per the wording on D2 of your report and carry forward the other relevant parts of the conditions still pertaining to the original application that approved the scheme. So, moving on and looking at the site, this is obviously just a plan showing the site, and here is the aerial view, and the car park here is located just onto the northern part of the site with the property here that's affected. This shows the car park, and this is number 3, Riversdale Close. So these are two parking spaces that are looking to be moved along with some slight reconfiguration of this corner. The rest of the site is to remain the same. In terms of just looking back the other way, that's the same area here, and we can see the two car parking spaces. And so the scheme would propose to move things out to roughly about this sort of level across here. You'll see that on plans as we move forward through the presentation. This is a close-up of the fencing between the garden area of the property and the car parking area, and you can see that it butts quite closely up to the fencing that's currently in situ. And again, you can see the fencing along here and the car parking space in quite close, and obviously people alighting from the car would be in close proximity, particularly for the car was the other way around, for example. This is a view from the garden side. It was taken a little earlier, but it's just to give you a sense of perspective of what it would be like in the garden area to take pictures, to looking out onto the car parking area at the present time. And this is a further one, and to just try and give a sense of the potential for overlooking in that area from the car parking area. This is the original layout plan for the site under the 2014 application, and what this shows is the existing site layout with the two car parking spaces, and as you can see, very little space along there with the boundary of number three, and it's the two parking spaces that obviously relates to the levels issue that is reason for the application coming before committee tonight. This next slide shows a revised layout, and there's a red line there that we'll come on to, which is the cross-section showing through the site. And what it's proposed to do is it widens the boundary between this property and the car parking spaces by providing additional landscaping and a bund of 0.8 metres in height and some additional landscaping shrubbery around this area, thereby moving the potential for overlooking close proximity. Just in terms of looking at the next layout, there was one thing also I should point out on here. This actually shows the original line of the car parking as we saw today on site, and there was a query about why they aren't cutting into the banking. You can see on this further plan that actually there is a little bit further cutting into the bank to provide the car lengths to generate the additional space within the car parking area. The next slide shows some tracking that was asked for by LCC Highways, and they requested the tracking in relation to car parking spaces 9 and 10 in this corner to make sure that it was feasible with the reconfiguration, because the circulation space will become tighter, that it is achievable to be able to get in and out of those spaces with those two spaces there brought forward. Again, it's not as whilst it is tighter, the tracking does show that it is feasible. Going back to the point I was making about the bunding, this is the cross section. So we have the property here that was most affected, and originally you had the approximate existing curbs and banking as done. Would leading up to this level with then steep banking, and that was leading to the overlooking in that area. By having this as a shallower pitch going away and providing planting, it provides that additional gapping between there's a distance between that and the fencing, so that there's less potential for overlooking. So in terms of the key considerations, it's things to consider are whether the revised design is acceptable in terms of parking and turning, whether the alterations successfully address the issues with amenity. In terms of parking and turning, there is no decrease in the number of spaces, though it is acknowledged that the amount of circulation space is decreased. The tracking, as shown, shows that the revised layout is workable, and whilst becoming tighter in accessing spaces 9 and 10, Leicestershire County Council Highways is content that it can be achieved. Accordingly, it is considered the layout remains a safe and legible and easy to negotiate layout, and the scheme is sufficient to address the issues of concern or complaint that brought about this application, and it's not considered reasonable to require to go beyond this acceptable solution in terms of the proposal before you tonight. In terms of amenity, the proposals provide for a moving of the car parking spaces by 2 to 4 metres further away from the boundary and allows a 0.8 metre landscaping bund to further screen and soften the boundary. Number three, Riversdale Close, has not objected to the application. Other residents in the flats have objected and have suggested a higher fence is a solution. But this is also not the proposal before you, but this would also result in excessively high fencing shading the garden of number three and leading potentially to an oppressive outlook. It's considered that the solution remedies the amenity impact for number three, and whilst there would be a modest amount of disruption in the car park, this would be temporary. Accordingly, the application is recommended for approval with conditions. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. We have no speakers. No on this one. I have three members at the moment. Four. Everybody? Right. Councillor Bentley.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Well, this has taken quite a long time to get before us. It's taken, I think, probably about a year and a quarter. It's taken an awful lot of time. But I'd like to ask the officers, please. Officers. You said that there's no objection from the resident of number three. Where they may not have objected, have they actually expressed a view that they actually like what's being suggested?
I understand that the complainant has negotiated the solution with our enforcement team, and this has been largely prepared from the enforcement team in terms of this proposal. So my understanding is, although I haven't got a written correspondence to support it, is that they have negotiated and come up with this scheme through discussion.
Okay, thank you, Chair. So in other words, then we can be clear that what's before us is as a result of a final decision to go with this scheme between both ourselves and the complainant.
That is my understanding, yes.
Okay, on that basis, then, I'd like to move officer recommendation.
Do you have a seconder? That's right, thank you. Councillor Campbell. Thank you. Need my glasses on again. I'm very sorry about this. Councillor Gerrard.
Thank you, Chair. Oops. Where the 5, 6, 7, 8, those parking spaces, when we visited the site today, couldn't they be moved back, remove some of the soil, because what was growing there, but dare I say weeds, or is it butterfly food? You know, I don't like to offend. But they could be moved back. With those being moved, those two being moved back, you'd still have the swing, you know, to get in. And that seems about the most logical explanation. It's easy, it's simple, and nothing will be damaged. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Through you, Chair, what I'd like to just explain is that perhaps I didn't make it clear or on site, and perhaps should have done, but I can do this tonight, is that if you look here, this is the original curb line of the car parking. So they actually have cut into the bank, and what that has done is, if you look at the width of that compared to the width that was originally there, it's very similar in terms of the cut in. So in actual fact, the circulation space is very little different in terms of what was provided. It's just a slightly different layout and reconfiguration because it has been cut in along this bank.
Yeah, I understand. I'm sorry. I understand, but I cannot see the logic of leaving that like that when there was a little yellow car in the, what number is it? Number 10, that was parked there today when we visited. yes, that'd swing round, but it only needs another resident with a far longer car and they won't be able to get in. Thank you.
Yes, through you, Chair. I mean, the situation is that, you know, in terms of this proposal, we wanted to leave some landscaping space. It is going to be cut in, as you can see from here. But the situation is here is not to try and achieve or get out of this application further betterment. It needs to reflect just what is required to, in order to achieve the solution, in my view. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Lowe.
Thank you, Chair. I am understanding this right, aren't I, Chair, that this has come before us because we made a mess of it when we built it. We didn't get the ground levels right. It just baffles me that why have we not took enforcement action a long time ago and strung ourselves up to a chimney somewhere, because it should never, ever have come to this. How can we expect other developers to get it right when we can't? Can I have an answer for that, please, Chair? Because I can see Richard's bite at the bit. He's going to...
through you, Chair, I'd be delighted to help Councillor Lowe with his question. Just to make it clear, whilst this is a council-owned property, it's a contract which was let to Wilmot Dixon, who are the people that are responsible for building the of undertaking the works for the extra care facility and in setting out that car park. So let's just make it clear, this isn't an error that the council has made. It's the council's contractor, and the contractor was responsible not just for building the development, but also project managing it as well. So it's not the fault of the council. Obviously the council, as a local planning authority, has a responsibility to investigate complaints that are made by residents, and in doing so has negotiated an outcome which the resident is happy with, and which Wilmot Dixon has had to remedy through this application.
Thank you, Chair. I think that was a good answer. But did Wilmot Dixon use an external surveyor then, in order to tick the boxes as this development was taking place? Because obviously I know they're a lot cheaper than council surveyors. Or did a council surveyor do it? Because if a council surveyor did it, then the council surveyor's at fault, surely.
Through you, Chair, it was, as I understand it, the surveyor was under the instruction of Wilmot Dixon.
Councillor Tillotson.
Thank you, Chair. I will be supporting this application. I'm pleased to see that the far side banking is being cut into, because it did seem obvious when we were on site that it should be. And I'm pleased that officers are not recommending the higher fence, because that would have been something I couldn't have supported. Spaces 11 and 12, which are the two in question, if they were angled somewhat towards the exit, would that not make the turning space bigger or not? I mean, to me, if they weren't at right angles to the fence, but were at, I don't know, 40, similar angle to the dotted lines, and you'd still have room for two spaces, and wouldn't that be better?
Through you, Chair. I think the concern for me is that we have to look at the application before us. Changing this has the potential to eat into the areas around here with the root basis for those trees that you may have seen on site. And the concern is there's also that it always makes me a little more nervous to start redesigning by at the committee stage when we haven't got the information before us about whether how that impacts in terms of tracking, etc. So I would say that we need to deal with the proposal before us, in my view.
Thank you. Councillor Smart.
Chairman, thank you. I might change my mind, but at the moment I can't support this. The one reason for it is that I would have liked to have seen tonight some information or a survey on parking need. And I'm not so sure that looking at it today, and it may well change through the time, and there's no information on here on parking need and whether we need all these spaces. And I know that we can't actually change it tonight, but I think that's crucial in having that information to say, are they needed? Because if they were taken away, that would make the actual thing, or even put the one on the side, would make it totally different. But I would have loved to have seen a survey to say, are they absolutely needed?
If I can try and assist on this matter, the issue is that the application before you tonight is just to vary the condition. The development has gone ahead, and that provided the level of parking that was indicated as being required in that scheme to meet the number of apartments within the facility. So I think we'd go beyond our scope in terms of seeking to readdress whether the suitability of the level of parking given the scheme that's been approved.
Come back, Chairman. The ASTU scheme was approved, but not this scheme. So it has not been approved as it is at the moment. So I think I'm still right in saying that it ain't right to what was actually approved by the planning application.
I think what's relevant is not meeting the approval of the planning application. It was the number of car parking spaces that were approved. 11 were approved, or whatever it was, 11 or 12, and that's what we've got to have in this parking area. And we're looking at this now as achieving the correct number of parking spaces without interfering too much with the amenity of number 3. Mr. Grimm.
Thank you, Chair. Just looking at space 12, we've got the fencing right close up to the parking space. It's just going to, if they do go forward there, they're just going to be banging the door on that fencing in any case, because you normally allow a set distance away from parking spaces for oversailing to obstruction. So, but that's a minor thing. I mean, it is what it is. I can see potential for people parking above space 11 in there and blocking the whole lot off, but I suppose it's the solution is on paper there, okay.
Thank you. Councillor Seaton.
Well, I really don't really want to say this because it has been pointed out to me, but the man could do it. I did nearly hit him at the time. he is skating on rather thin ice tonight. Do you have to reverse out of that car park?
Sorry?
Do you have to reverse out of that car park?
No.
Where's the turning space then?
Through you, Chair, just to show, this is the swing in. And this is the show, there's dots, it's probably quite hard to see, that show you can come out and then swing back out. So it does allow for that turning area. It does allow for that to work.
You need 6 metres.
Yeah, you need 6 metres to go back.
I'm going to do a 3.7.
No, you'd be able to come back 6 metres and then swing forward. That should be sufficient for you to get through there. And just picking up on the point, that Councillor Grimley mentioned earlier, these spaces are wide enough to accommodate the doors opening and accommodate that fence being in that location.
Okay, I just can't for the life of me see why you couldn't just have a little... We understand that it's all been cut in because the pictures are there and I'm good on pictures. But why it couldn't have been just a little bit more and take any guesswork out of that. Because if I was number 11 and I kept being hit on the bum as often as that car might be, because the person in number 10 can't drive properly or reverse properly. But if highways have looked at it and I can follow all the tracking, then that's all right. But I'm concerned with that householder. The building's been up for quite a while. I would like to make sure that the shrubbery that goes up is mature, not just little sticks at the moment, and I'd like to make sure that they're evergreen, please, that it, and not conifers, so that it does become an effective screening quicker. Because if they just put small shrubs in now, it's going to take 4 or 5 years and to be able to screen the car from that place. Okay, thank you. I'd like that as an amendment, please.
What would you say? Through you, Chair, I'm just checking in terms of the conditions, because I think it's already covered in terms of the conditions to provide that detail for the landscaping. So, but we can insert that it's semi-mature, if that would help.
I think it would, rather than nursery shrub, it's going to take about 10 years to be able to get some kind of
semi-mature.
Thank you. Is that all the speakers? Councillor Gerrard.
Thank you, Chair. Going back to parking space 10, these aren't all old people's flats, are they? They are.
Well, they are. It is an old folks' home, yes, but it is also mainly staff that would be parking there.
Yeah. It just worries me, as I repeat myself, it was a little yellow car. If it was something a bit bigger, number 11 would have a very sore backside, as Brenda says, so thank you.
I think we have to take it as it is, without trying to modify. Right, we have a proposition to grant.
So through you, Chair, we've got a proposition to grant, but we need to just incorporate the amendment for the condition.
Right, we have a proposition to grant with the... What are you going to call them? Semi-mature?
Yes.
Semi-mature shrubs in one of the conditions. All those in favour?
Evergreen.
Yes.
Sorry, I don't think they'll be evergreen because that won't necessarily be a native species. But we can look at landscaping.
Can we just say that they have to be evergreen because if they're not evergreen, you might just as well not have them there in the winter. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Can we go through this vote again, please? Those in favour? That's unanimous, isn't it?
No. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Those against? That's no abstentions. Thank you very much. That's granted. Yes. Right. We have item 5 now, which is 219 Ashby Road. Can I just say that on the speakers list, we had 2 speakers down here when we get to it, but the applicant has decided not to speak in this particular case. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. This application is reported to the Plans Committee at the request of Councillor Tillotson, who is concerned with the impact on highway safety and that the proposal is overdominant in the conservation area. The proposal is for a 2-storey extension to the rear of the existing dwelling and for a detached double garage. And the proposal will create 2 additional bedrooms and a box room. You may want to just add that in on page E1 of your report. 2 ensuite bathrooms and 2 closets and a first floor level with a study and large kitchen and creation of a day room at ground floor. And just to clarify that the previous application, the history is referenced on page E1, the first planning application was refused, or most recent planning application was refused through the application going through the ward referral process and not committee. In terms of the site plan, this just shows it's quite a large plot near to the island location, accessed here currently. There's another access here which we'll come on to
Epinel Way being here and Ashby Road being here. This is the aerial view of the site, as you can see, with the large plot, and then the rear gardens here I think it's Hayden Road. Oh, not Hayden Road, they're close nearby. In terms of the house, it's got a front elevation with sufficient car parking to deal with the property. I mean, quite extensive car parking, and this is from Ashby Road. And again, this is further into the site, and the purpose of showing this is to show that there's further parking down to the side here, if required, and into the sort of a carport sort of development here. The this picture shows the existing rear elevation. You can see, obviously, there's been some trees in the centre of the site removed. These were identified in the arboricultural report that comes with the application to be in poor condition, and the council's tree officers confirmed that none of the trees on the site, including those, were worthy of TPO designation, with it being in the conservation area. But you'll find in your report that condition 4 does provide to retain certain trees should the application be approved, and therefore they would be protected. This just shows a bit further around to the site, and you can see the island here from within inside the site. And then further around again, you can see the extent of the site and the existing access onto Epinel Way, which is up in this corner, and a drive that comes down here. The proposed garage is going to be in this corner here. The next plan is a block plan of the layout, and the areas hatched show where the extension sort of starts and where the garage is going to be located. The illustrates also the proposed access, as I've mentioned. It's actually similar in layout to the application that was proposed and approved in 2007 that's referenced on page E3 of your report. The access is shown to be approximately 6 metres wide, which would be a little bit wider than currently shown. And it would, on this map, show the gates being set back around 7 metres from the front onto Epinel Way. Just to clarify, the access details have also suggested it's been controlled by condition 6 in the report. This is the refused scheme that was refused in 2016 and shows that you can see the rear elevation with the flat top dormer proposed in the rear, and that shows the height increase of the roof, 2.3 metres higher than the ridge height that's currently seen on the property. This again is the refuse scheme, and I've thrown it in just so that you can see that the hatched area, the white area here is the existing property, and the hatched area is what was originally proposed and was refused earlier in July 2016. And this is the other way, and this is the set elevation that would face onto Epinel Way, as opposed to 217 Ashby Road. And again, you can see the height increase and the setback in approximately 5 metres along in this direction. This moves you on to the existing elevation site, shows the existing elevations. And this shows the further existing for the first floor, and as opposed to the ground floor on the previous plan, and the east and west elevations. This shows the floor plan for the proposed new extension, and this shows a reconfiguration from the original, from the existing house, so that now you'd have a kitchen and day room, a dining room and study, and bathroom facilities and closets. It's understood that the purpose of this is for extended family proposal. It's an extended family proposal, essentially. This shows the new arrangement for the bedroom. So you've basically got the five bedrooms here, and then a box room, and then a bathroom with the landing and the en suites. This plan shows the rear elevation as proposed, building outwards. Obviously, the width of the property remains unaltered in terms of how it would look from the rear. As you remember, recall, this time this shows the hatching here, and you can see that it's been kept at the same level as in terms of the ridge height. Again, in terms of the view from Epinal Way, if you were to cross the road away from the fencing to be able to see it, you would see that the extends out in that direction, but it would be no higher than the highest point of the existing property. The garage elevations are no different to the refuse scheme, or indeed, I think the scheme approved in 2007. And there's a further elevations of the garage, just for information. So in terms of the key considerations, in terms of impact on design, visual amenity and the conservation area, the revised scheme is considered to be significantly reduced in terms of roof height, and the flat roof dormer has been removed. Accordingly, it is considered to be in keeping in proportion with the existing dwelling and the wider locality, and therefore would not appear incongruous with the street scene and character of the conservation area. The materials are to match the existing, and it's considered that the proposal has overcome the previous reason for refusal outlined in your report. Also to note, in terms of these considerations of design and visual amenity and conservation impact on conservation area, the trees, as mentioned earlier, were not considered worthy of protection, but condition 4 does protect those trees considered to be of better health and which provide good screening, and which therefore are the most visible in terms of screening from neighbours, but also the wider conservation area. In terms of impact on the amenity of neighbouring residential properties, the extension extends to the rear by some 5 metres, but due to its position and the large plot size and facing onto rear gardens, the spacious standards are easily met by some 55 metres. In relation to the nearest property, the neighbour at 217, you'll note in the second paragraph of page E7 of your report, says that why it is considered development will not cause undue impact in terms of daylight or in terms of distances, and that is because there is the distances between the properties and their positioning. And I think we saw on site as well that where the elevation come forward, the screening would of the existing high conifer or liandi boundary would prevent overlooking into that garden area. There's no loss of privacy from windows in terms of on that elevation onto 217, and that neighbour has not objected. In relation to the impact of potential neighbouring immediate impact from the garage, whilst it's in close proximity to the boundaries of the neighbouring properties, it is at the end of their gardens, and its size is not significantly above that outlined allowed under permitted development as set out in the report, and therefore it is not considered it will be lead to overbearing impact or unacceptable loss of light in the gardens. In terms of the impact on car parking, the level of parking required for the size of the property is easily accommodated within the site and has been shown on the plans. Finally, in terms of highway safety, it's acknowledged that objectors have raised concerns in relation to the use of the existing access the proposed garage, and it's acknowledged that this access is not utilised at present. However, planning permission would not be required to reuse this access, and the Highway Authority have provided quite detailed comments, and these are viewable on the web, and these indicate that whilst the access is substandard due to the fencing along Epinal Way, the proposals will provide improvement with the access being widened and the gate set back, and given that the access is long established, there are seen as benefits in terms of the highway, from a highway perspective, and it does not object to the use of the access should be the condition. And I should just clarify that as it's a long-established access, so they should be, it can be opened without the need for further permission in its current state. Finally, there was, and it's not referenced up on the slide there, but there was a concern that this property could turn into be used for a house of multiple occupation. There's no evidence to suggest this, and it would need a separate application. And as indicated, it's understood from the applicants that they are proposing this for extended family purposes. Having regard to these considerations, the application is recommended for approval. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. We have only one speaker, Councillor Tillotson.
Thank you, Chair. I've got no issue with the revised plans for the house. My concerns relate entirely to the location of the detached garage. The double gates onto Epinal Way that would be used to access the garage have not been used for some considerable time. I appreciate that Highways have not objected as there is this existing gateway, but the point is, it is not in use. And construction of this garage would mean that it would be used. There is doubt about when permissions for these gates was actually granted. Local people tell me that this was before Epinal Way was constructed, when they opened onto a quiet service road. Other opinion states that it was later than this, after the construction of Epinal Way. However, what is certain and undeniable is that Epinal Way is much, much busier now than it was when this gateway was installed. The gateway has poor sight lines and it's far too near the Ashby Road Epinal Way junction to be safely used. My strongly held view is that if permission is granted for this garage, then regular use of this gateway will pose a danger to pedestrians, other road users, and indeed to the applicants themselves. I would not object to a fresh application which reorientated the garage so that access was by the current entry to the property on Ashby Road. While this is equally near the junction, it's already in regular use and has much better sight lines than can ever be achieved from the access on Epinal Way. Thank you.
Thank you. Got two speakers at the moment. Anyone else? Three.
And I would like to speak to
four, five. Anyone else? No? Okay. Councillor Campbell.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I'm very concerned about the opening onto the Epinal Way. I mean, I've lived there. I walked there for 58 years, pushed there in a pram, you know, for the first few months of my life, and I've never known that to be used as an opening onto Epinal Way. Now, with the traffic in the mornings there, it's to me, it'd be suicide putting an opening onto the Epinal Way. So I'm very concerned.
Yep.
Chairman, thank you. I'm minded to recommend this. As officer's recommendation. The one thing I'd like to actually just understand a bit more, is it possible that officers could put up the Epinal Way bit where the plan is for that? That's it. So coming off Epinal Way, it comes down 7 metres, and is that a wall at the side of it coming down there, and it's 6 metres.
Through you, Chair, we haven't got precise details as to what will be there. What we do know is it's indicated to be gated and that the access would be off there, but it could be fence or wall along there. What I would want to say is just to bear in mind that this can have permitted development for this garage here, and as the access is already established, they wouldn't need permission to actually open that access. They wouldn't need permission to start opening that access out with a garage under permitted development. So I appreciate the concerns that have been raised, but there's ways and means for the applicant to address that without actually coming up with a scheme that is actually better in the Highway Authority's minds, albeit still substandard. So I just wanted to flag that point up. Thank you, Chair.
Can I just go back to where I was? And if we look at E5 at the top, it says the fact that other accesses on a public way have been refused planning permission, erection of dwelling has also been refused permission due to concerns about intensification of the use of the access. Now, there'll certainly be more vehicles going in there. And the one thing for me is around the construction traffic. And I don't know whether we can do this, but on the recommendations and following conditions, it says, can we do something that says that must be in place before the construction starts? I tell you the reason why is that I can see that being used as construction traffic because it will be easier to use construction traffic coming through that entrance. And I think it ought to be done before construction starts. And I believe that there should be a condition in there that says all construction traffic must be off or on site as well. So that would cause us to have two things that says that construction traffic would be off on site and off the highway. And the other thing would be that it would be a lot safer in highway terms if we got that done before construction started. And if that can happen, I would propose that this is recommended as officer's recommendation.
Would you like to answer that?
Yes, I mean, it seems the best way forward actually would be to have a construction method statement that covered things like parking and deliveries and the access arrangements for the construction traffic. And that's a condition that could be added to this application.
Is that sufficient, David?
If that satisfies what I've said...
I'm not too sure it does.
I'm not sure. What I want to make sure is that at this stage, that construction traffic, because it is an area that is very busy, it's a highway safety issue is my concern. That traffic or the construction traffic should be off of the road. And to do that, it should come off of there, but that access should be completed before we start the construction.
Of the house?
Yeah, and the garage.
So what we can do is, because we can have the condition that details to be agreed with the local planning authority so that we can obviously then deal with any the highway safety aspects, and there's no problem about putting the wording in then to capture the concern that the construction traffic is accessed off Epinal Way and clear of the site in a way that's safe in that regard. So that's my suggestion.
Sorry, Chair, if I may add...
Can we put that into a condition?
Sorry, Chair, I was just going to add to what Stephen said. I think what Councillor Snott was asking for, in addition to a construction method statement, was something written into the conditions to ensure that the access point with the gates was implemented before construction actually started. Yeah. That was the point I think you were making.
I think if you could say that a construction method statement should be submitted and approved in writing by the local planning authority, and that should include details regarding the access arrangements which will be accessed off of the Epinal Way, the gating and security which would need to be pulled back, parking during the construction period, and
issues regarding delivery of materials and how that will be dealt with. I think that that all could be rolled into a condition. What we'd have to say is that then the details of how that would have to be managed would have to be sent to us for us to approve it, and that's why we talk about this construction method statement.
That sound all right, David?
I don't think they'll be putting up the gates beforehand, because obviously they'll have big plants and machinery coming up, and the surface obviously won't be put down until all of that has been done. But we can certainly talk about means of enclosure and gates as part of that approval process. So it might be temporary gates.
I think Chairman, I don't want to labour on this, but I see no reason to say that we can't actually say on a condition that that gate should be there before the construction traffic starts to come and delivers the development. And I think that's important. And if I can get that assurance, if that's through what they've said, that's fine. But the two things I want, really, is that I want the construction traffic off the actual highway, and I want them to be able to access it in a sort of safety way, and that's the only way, is to put that as it is on that actual development.
Yeah,
in other words, you don't want any traffic stopping on the highway.
Correct.
To unload or
yes,
do anything like that.
Yes.
Okay.
I think that's reasonable. I think we're on the same grounds. I think it doesn't matter whether they're temporary enclosures, hoarding, or it's the permanent gate. I think what you're saying is that construction traffic to be accessed off of Epinal Way, and for the gates fronting Epinal Way to be removed, and sufficient standoff distance to be given for cars off of that highway. I think that's reasonable.
Sounds better to me. Okay, so you're prepared to now propose with that modification. Got a seconder? Councillor Lowe. Thank you. Right. Councillor Bentley.
Yeah. It's interesting to note, really, because although this property here has got the second accessway off Epinal Way, what about the property? The property number, was it 217, had a similar application. What constrictions would be placed on them? Because they don't have an access, a secondary access point. So it's been proposed, it's been seconded, I understand that. And I'm probably going to go along with the application as it's been suggested. But I do think it's somewhat unfair to put restrictions on this person because they happen to have that second points of access, whereas other people generally wouldn't have. But I think it is a good idea, as it's there. There's been talk about whether or not it should be used. I don't think that's really for us to decide here, because that has been an access way for, I don't know how many years, but a substantial number of years. It may not have been used, but that doesn't mean to say this isn't a legitimate access way onto the highway. I think it is a good idea that we, as it's there, and that's the route we're going down, that construction traffic does come through there. I think it was a little bit confused as to whether or not the actual gate needed to be fitted at this stage. I think the gate, probably the new gate as positioned on there, it may be better for the homeowner to actually fit that towards the end of the build-out rather than at the beginning, because they're only going to get in the way. But it is a good idea to have the driveway built to allow for traffic to sort of come off easily off Epinal Way, and at a reasonable speed, so that they're not having to sort of manoeuvre around and cause a jam on Epinal Way. So that is a good idea. But I think if I can just go back through you, Chair, to David Snart, just for clarity on the point of the gates, because I don't think necessarily fitting the gates themselves, early doors, is such a good idea. If it's for security, I think that's for the homeowners to decide. I don't think it's for us to enforce it upon them.
I think the major thing that you were after, the Councillor Snart, was to make sure that the traffic was actually off the road and not on the road. Because if it parks on the road, then that becomes a road safety problem. Okay. Councillor Forrest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have no problem with the house extension whatsoever. I don't think it's going to harm anyone. I think it will be lovely when it's done. I am very worried about that driveway and the access and, on and off Epinal Way. I can understand why the applicants want to do it, because it looks easy. It looks like the solution. But I, Mr. Stray said in answer to an earlier question about the access exit there, we don't know what we're going to really is going to be there. And I'm very reluctant.